are glad that you're here with us tonight. And if you're viewing online, you've tuned in to Toronto, Canada. And we want to welcome everyone, not only here in person, but also viewing our service online. We're going to start with a famous Christian hymn of the faith, Stand Up for Jesus, number 581 in our hymnal. Let's stand, please, as we worship the Lord. Here in our church, everyone is standing for this worship song. And I don't know about you folks at home or not, or wherever you might be. I have a feeling you're sitting down by your computer. So you need to step back, push yourself away from that desk, stand up for this final hymn, final verse rather. It's a tremendous hymn of the faith. And you know, it talks there in the third verse about putting on the armor of God. Ephesians 6 is a chapter that should be well known to every single Christian. And it's good for us to pray over the armor each piece putting on by faith. Because, you know, we face an enemy that is great. And the enemy that has his target on us every single day. And as we awake from our beds until we put our heads down to our pillow at night, we have to realize we're in a warfare and it's a battle. And God has called us to stand in our time and to take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing this final verse. Very good. You may be seated, including those folks who are at home as well. Let's seek the Lord now, please, in prayer and commit our evening service now to the Lord. Father, we are very thankful tonight for the privilege that we have in our generation of taking a stand for the gospel and for our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the apostles in the early church and how after they had suffered greatly, even to the point of being beaten, they went back, Lord, to the fellowship of believers and they counted themselves worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Father, we know so little about that in our time. in our place. We ask, Father, that we will be able to stand firm and true at every time we are called upon to bear a witness for the Savior. Lord, do not let us ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Lord, we're asking tonight that from this very fellowship that you would take our testimony and our witness and use it for the glory of King Jesus and for the extension, Father, of thy great kingdom. We are not worthy. Lord, we don't see ourselves as anything that is special. We don't have the gifts and talents that are reserved or coming directly from our own abilities. None of these things, Lord, are within us. We do not want to take confidence in the arm of flesh, for it has failed us many times, and it will yet fail us, I am sure. But Lord, our standing tonight, our joy, our confidence is in the finished work of our Lord Jesus. It's in the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit within us. It is the power that has been promised to us in the resurrected Savior. And so, Lord, tonight, give us joy in our hearts, I pray. Help us to go about our daily business and service for the Master. And give us that power which is not our own. Lord, remember tonight each one who is set aside because of sickness. We have many, Lord, that are needing a touch from your hand in our congregation, those that are close to us. Remember the hearts that are grieving this very hour over the loss of loved ones. We pray, Father, for your mighty hand of comfort and of blessing. Remember our brother Sam McAnally tonight. We ask, Lord, for your encouragement upon our brother to lift him up and to strengthen him. We hold up many others, Lord, as well. We pray that, Lord, as we go from day to day, as we experience the mercies of the Lord, the kindnesses of our gracious Father, new every morning to us, let us not become complacent. Let us not become, Lord, apathetic, but rather may our zeal for the things of Jesus be enlivened each day, and may we have joy in serving our great God. Lord, defeat the devil in every attempt he has to undermine our faith. Every time he brings a temptation against us, may he be defeated. Lord, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. Indeed, Lord, we would have the armor of God on us each day, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, having on us the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to go forward into battle. Lord, give us that strength that is not our own, we pray. Be with us now in our evening service. Bless us as we continue in our worship and in our praise. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Soldiers of Christ, arise, number 589. Let's stand again, please, as we worship. Our scripture reading tonight is a little bit different than normal, and you will not need to open your scriptures per se. It's going to be taken from Psalm 34, and it's something that we're going to play for you on the screen tonight. It is a marker, I think, and something that is precious. Something actually that was started through Brother Stephen Lee and through the Faith FPC Church, actually, during these COVID days. And they asked people to read a verse of a specifically assigned portion of Scripture. And so that's what we have for you tonight. What is significant is the final person on this particular reading of Psalm 34 who was concluding it tonight. So I've asked that our brother Jonathan dim all the lights for us this evening as we are able to view this.
Hi, my name is Armand Tomasian, the pastor of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. During this current pandemic and the resulting isolation, obviously our congregation are not meeting as they would usually, nor are they able to minister as they would normally. But in spite of that, I encouraged them recently to think of ways that they might be an encouragement to the saints and even advance the gospel. Well, some of them came up with this idea of the Bible reading chain, which is a blessing to those that participate, but it can also be shared. I trust that as you watch on and as you share it, that the Lord will use it to advance His kingdom and be a blessing to His people.
Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together.
I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him.
O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good?
Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile.
Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry.
The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart,
and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken.
Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate.
The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
Hi.
This was finalized not long before the passing of Dr. Cairns, and so it was significant that he was the one closing off that particular reading. A very interesting ministry that was started by our Faith Church, and as they continue on doing that, that it might be an encouragement. And you will notice that Haley was one of the ones reading in this tonight, and that was very encouraging. You had old, medium, and young as well. So it was a great blessing for us. Let me take a moment and just extend the condolences of our congregation to Mrs. Cairns and to Frank and Whitney, their son and daughter-in-law, in the passing of Dr. Cairns. And we will be, in a few moments, saying a few more extended words about our brother's ministry, and so we'll hold off any further comments until then. But do please continue to remember our brother Wilfie Brown and Nicola and Stephen and all of their grandchildren because of the difficulty of losing their grandmother and wife this past week. As I said this morning, the flowers that you see here are from the funeral service. And I know that Brother Wilfie greatly appreciates all the prayers and the kind words from the people here in the church. Also, condolences to Mrs. Sandra Brown as she learned of the passing of her sister really very suddenly. Mrs. Brown is not any relation to Wilfie, but she has been not able to be at our church for quite some time, and we want her to know that she's being remembered in prayer. We know that Mrs. Lee Femson, very good friend of Mrs. Brown, and she stays in good close contact with her. And so I had a nice conversation with Sandra just on Friday evening. And so do please remember this dear lady in the Lord at this time. Also, we pray for Sam McAnally. Today is a special day for our brother. He is 88 years of age today. Today is his birthday. And sadly, he's not able to be out. But Sam, I think and hope you're watching the service online tonight. So brother, we wish you a very happy birthday and let you know from our congregation here we are holding you up before the Lord and pray that God would bless you. Let me give you a brief outline of the announcements for the rest of this week. On Wednesday evening, our Bible study and prayer time will be on Zoom, and we have that will be at 7:30 Wednesday evening. Then on Thursday night, the Trinitarian Bible Society will be holding their annual general meeting, and it will be in Dundas, Ontario, but I doubt many will be able to travel down there, so it will be online as well. That's Thursday evening at 7:30, and if you'd like to tune in, you can do so on Sermon Audio, and then if you go to the Dundas, FRC Dundas, that's the Free Reformed Church, you'll be able to tune in and view that annual general meeting. Those are all the announcements to share with you at this particular time. I want to say a few words about Dr. Cairns tonight by way of my own personal reflection. And then we have something for you as well by Dr. John Douglas, which we'll be playing for you on the screen. And then to close it off, Dr. McClellan is going to share some thoughts from his relationship and his lifelong association with a brother. You know, the passing of Dr. Cairns this past week has caused many of us some solemn reflection. And really it is to do with the impact that our brother has had upon our denomination, upon our churches, and I speak personally upon my own life as well. And it has really spanned the ocean because the parent denomination, the church in Ulster, where he started out his ministry and taught theology in the seminary there for many, many years. And then as God called him over to North America in 1978, and he began a ministry there in Greenville, where he ministered for about 25 years. He was a man who, well, has now been taken home to his long reward. But I say that he will be remembered as a man who is a champion of the faith, one who loved the Lord and who courageously stood for God's truth. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ in all his fullness, and he had a unique God-given ability to present theology, but not in something that was dry and cold, but in the warmth and in the love of the Lord from his heart. And he courageously stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he always lifted up the Lord, and he pointed all of his hearers to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say this, that the church has lost a mighty warrior and a faithful servant. But as history and experience has proved, God takes his workers home, but his work continues. Dr. Cairns was a dear friend of this church, and many times he preached in this very pulpit, and not only in this church, but also on Warden Avenue, when our church was located there. He never, to me anyways, as a young person, he never appeared to be intimidated by the challenge of preaching, no matter the size of the congregation or the venue where it was located. Well, I'm sure that if you spoke to him personally, it was a different account and a story. On one occasion in Warden Avenue, I can remember this, it was about 2 minutes before the 11 a.m. service. And as Dr. McClellan was preparing to go into the pulpit along with Mr. Cairns, Mr. Cairns, in rather casual conversation, said, "Oh, by the way, what were you preaching on last Lord's Day?" And so our brother gave him the text, and he said, "Uh-oh, that's exactly the same text that I have for today to preach." And he thought to himself, this would not be a good idea. So as the service began, as he was sitting in the pulpit in the chair behind, he jotted down 4 words on a little piece of paper. And that day, as he stood to preach the word, he preached what I felt, but what many others who were there also felt. It was a spirit-empowered message from God, and perhaps one of the most unusually powered and gifted sermons that he was ever heard to have preached before, or maybe from that time. But wouldn't you know it, the recording equipment that day failed. And so that message was only for that day, that time, and for those people, those of us who were there. That's how the Lord often works, in using his servants. But this was just one evidence of a man who walked with God, and he knew the power of God in his ministry. He preached here at our 20th anniversary in 2014, and many other times before that and also after that. And I believe that everyone who heard him, well, they were encouraged in their hearts, and they received a blessing from his work. As a theologian, I do not believe that he was second to anyone. He wrote several books, one of them called The Dictionary of Theological Terms, which has been reprinted 3 different times, a valuable resource for students and also for ministers, taking deep doctrinal topics and distilling them down to very understandable terms. The book has been widely used by many in and out of our denomination. A brother, Stephen Lee, who founded Sermon Audio, put together some years ago a Q&A with Dr. Cairns, and it's still available today if anyone's interested in getting that. But as Stephen had taken some time to prepare a list of questions, doctrinal questions, concerns, current event issues, they sat down for several hours, and without Dr. Cairns knowing any of the questions beforehand, he answered them all biblically and with clarity and without any notes in front of him. The Lord had gifted his servant with an unusual ability. Dr. Cairns did not want any tributes at his funeral, so we're not giving any at his funeral, we're giving them a little bit later, and to acknowledge what the Lord has done. He did not want his name to be exalted before men. He did not want his name in the lights, because he always desired that the Lord Jesus would be glorified. And so tonight, for just a few moments, we pause, reflect, and speak some words from our hearts and pay tribute to a beloved soldier and a fellow servant, to give honor, as the Lord says, where honor is due. He's going to be greatly missed in our denomination. God raised up a giant in the faith to serve in his generation. But as his dear wife, Mrs. Cairns, said recently, that Alan's work was done, and therefore God has taken him home. I wonder who will move into that place to fill the ranks of another vacant seat, of another minister that has gone to his long reward. I encourage you to pray for Mrs. Cairns, for her family at this time, especially under the difficulties of what COVID has presented. One of the sad things that she will have to deal with is that she was not able to be in the hospital to see her husband during the entire time of his sickness and even up until his death. But she will see him again in glory, and she will be united when she also goes home to be with him. You may want to watch the entire funeral service, and it is on sermonaudio.com/Hebron, and that is the Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, known also as Ballymoney. At this time of our service, we're going to play you a clip from Dr. John Douglas, who was there at the funeral yesterday and bringing some of his comments. Jonathan, if I could ask you to turn the volume up just slightly on that, please, making sure that everyone is able to hear.
Just before we go to prayer, I would like, if I can, just to pass on a word or two. We do thank the Lord for the life and ministry of his servant, Dr. Alan Cairns. Mr. Cairns was special. He was special in more ways than one. He was a special instrument in the hand of the Lord. He was God's gift to our denomination and a blessing to ever so many in the wider Christian public. And I would like, on occasions, just as I speak here, to refer to him as Alan, because, yes, I give him his title and due respect in that manner. But Alan is just like a brother to me. And so I want to have that freedom just to occasionally use his Christian name, because we were so close. Now, Alan made a huge, huge contribution to the work of the Lord wherever he was. But I think specifically of our own denomination and a number of the departments in our church owe their existence to him. For he either formed them or he was a front runner in their formation. He had a great mind and an incredible memory. He had a tremendous gift in preaching. That goes without saying. Tremendous gift in preaching and a voice to match. And he was equally adept at ministering to the ungodly, every bit as much as he was ministering to the saints of God. As a preacher, Alan believed intensely in the power of prayer. He prayed at home as well as in the public place. And then I may say, Dr. Cairns believed with all his heart in the book that he preached. Preeminently, his message was Christ in all his majesty, and Christ in all his divine fullness. And it's got to be said, this is the outstanding distinctive of his ministry. No one could have preached more emphatically or more effectively on that subject. He preached the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the magnificence of his ministry. The all-sufficiency of Christ for the believer at the cross. And the all-sufficiency of Christ for the believer in this present life, as well as in the world to come. Praise God for that message. That message thrills the heart of the sinner saved by grace, that thrilled the hearts of many different parts of the world. That was the message. That was the message God used. The message that God used and signally blessed and still blesses. So if we speak of his departure for glory, our church has suffered an incalculable loss. We have lost a great friend and a brother in the Lord, and one who could not only expound the riches of Christ and even deal with thorny issues, and yet had such a deep compassion in his own soul. I would love to speak today of our personal friendship and those long years of association. I can't do that now because of the constraints of this hour. Just let me say this, however. I was honored to be the best man at the wedding for Joan and Alan. And that was some day. That was a day to be remembered. That was a day when the sun shone. And best of all, we had the sunshine of heaven too. And all those years have slipped by, and we thank God for the remembrance of them. Men and women and dear friends in the family, we have the abiding comfort of the Lord. We know where the Lord's dear servant is. He's very much alive. He's in the courts of heaven's King. And we not only look back as we did there from a moment or two, but we look up because we have the glad message in mind that one day the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and undefiled. And we're going to be there in the glory even before that time. What a great reunion day when I see all of our friends here today and many, many more out in the global audience. We're looking forward to that grand reunion day. What a day that will be when we stand on the crystal sea. And for those who hear the well done of God, I re-echo Mr. Barnes's words. He's gone in to see the King. And we thank God for his labors more abundant and for the knowledge that he has the well done of God. Let us unite in prayer. Where would we go today without the Lord, without the throne of grace, without his precious word? Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy people, for their prayers, for their comfort, for their presence, for their love. We thank thee for that great family of God's redeemed, in which all have a part on account of the Savior's love, his dying grace, his precious blood, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, made us one with Christ and with God. We thank thee for thy presence just now, the knowledge that thou art by our side, and we do give thee thanks for thy servant, for the way that he conducted his ministry, for the unction of God that was upon him, and for how he labored out of a heart of love for Christ. We thank thee for his upbringing, for the love of his family. We thank thee for a dear father and mother who not only truly loved the Lord themselves, but had a fervent desire to please him in everything, to live for him. We thank thee for his father and mother who sought, even in his early days, to tutor him and tutor him well in the things of God. We praise thee for that time when, as a young lad, he trusted the Savior, became a child of the King. We think of his early days in employment, how even then, as opportunities came, he bore witness to Christ and was never ashamed of the gospel and sought to win others, even then, before entering full-time work. Then the day came, Lord, when you called him. And we thank you for his readiness to respond, to go forward into that work, to apply himself as he did, heart and soul, to labor for Christ. We thank thee for his ministry, for the preaching of the word, for the fearless preaching of the word, and for how he held up the banner of redemption. We thank thee for men and women who trusted Christ through his ministry, not only here, but across the seas, in other lands, those who will join him one day in the glory. Lord, we have thought already what a grand day that will be. And yet we think of the apostle himself saying of believers, those whom he pointed to the cross, ye are our joy and crown. Even with all the joys of heaven, this is an extra. This is a piece thrown in besides, that he will gladly greet those whom he led to Christ and helped along the way. And we thank thee for the soul winner's crown. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that he has finished his course with joy. He has kept the faith. He has fought a good fight. And now, Lord, he's with thee. And we pray for those of us who are left for a little season, that we'll have God's keeping grace and his wonderful presence. Pray for Joan, that you will know strength from the Lord at the beginning of every day and even right through that day, and at the close of the day as shadows fall. We pray that you may have the strengthening of God in a way beyond even her own expectation. Fill the vacant chair, Lord. Fill the empty place in her heart, we pray, for her grace and strength. We think also of Frank and Whitney, the little ones, and Betty too, and Joan's brother, and her sister-in-law. Oh, grant to all of the family and many others besides the comfort of the Lord. We think, Lord, of some who maybe yet in the global congregation have never trusted Christ, heard the message as Alan proclaimed it, and the gospel in the plainest fashion declared in their hearing. And yet, Lord, they've never taken that step. Help them to come today. Lord, that would be a joy to our hearts to know that in his homegoing, the Lord used his departure for glory, also as a means of persuading others to flee to Christ. We ask thee so to abide with us. Help thy servant as he ministers. Lay liberally to his hand. May he have unction from God. And grant to us all the comfort of thy presence. In Jesus' dear name. Amen. Just before we go to prayer, I would like, if I can,
now the big problem is, how do I follow that John Douglas, he was Mr. Paisley's first ever convert in Ravenhill Road in 1948. And John now, I think, is either 86 or 87 and still ministering, going on with the Lord. This is a sad day to say farewell to a dear friend. And for those of you who don't know him, let me remind you what it says in 2 Samuel 3 and 38. Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And that spoken of Abner is very true of our brother Alan. It is with genuine sorrow that we say farewell to Dr. Alan Cairns. On Thursday, at 80 years of age, he went to his eternal ward from the hand of the Christ whom he served for a lifetime. And sadly, Alan fell victim to this awful COVID-19 pandemic. He and his wife were both smitten, and none of them have any idea how they got it, but he died from it. I first met Alan in the newly formed Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church on South Belfast in Northern Ireland, and that was back in the mid-50s. So that's a long, long time ago. And since then, our friendship has blossomed as brothers in Christ and servants together for the Lord, that we have fond memories. And he and his wife, Joan, they became close friends to our family. We spent holidays together. We had wonderful fellowship and friendship together. And so I'm very sad to say farewell to him. You've heard he was a theologian, but he was no dead theologian. He had a good sense of humor. And I would, although our friendship was close, we were separated, he in Northern Ireland, and me here, and then me here, and him down in Greenville. So we didn't see all that much of each other, but we were in touch by telephone and so on, and we were very, very close. We exchanged pulpits, and he would come up here from Greenville, and I'd go down there and so on. And we used to tease one another that if I was in his church, I would tease him, and if he was in this church, he would tease me. And the two of us had to come to him, says Alan, we can't continue this because some of these people think we are serious, that I was ribbing him And the people in his church thought I was being serious, and he would rib me up here in my pulpit, and they would think that he was being serious. So we had to stop it, but we had great fun together. I'll just share one. My wife's going to kill me for this, but I got to share this to show you the fellowship that we had together. That he's in our pulpit here, and I had introduced him as a speaker, and he got up, and I sat down over there where Dana is, and he said, "You know, your minister just wants you to know what he wants you to know." But I says, "I know him." And I'm thinking, what is he going to say? What's coming out now? He said, "I know a lot about him." He says, "When Frank was a young man, he was very shy." True, still true. And then he says, he started to go out with a young lady called May. And May's, of course, there. And he says that he was very shy and he wanted to give her a kiss, but he was afraid to actually ask her. So they're out walking along the farm. We had a farm along the farm, and there was some cattle in the field. And he saw two cows. I'm supposed to have seen two cows, and the two cows were nudging their noses together. And so I'm supposed to have said, well, that they may look at what those two cows, they're kissing one another. And then I'm supposed to have said, well, I would like to do that. And she says, well, they're your cows, go ahead. So there was no return to that, and now with him gone, there's not going to be any return. But we had to give it up because people didn't realize that in Northern Ireland, the more you tease a person, the better you like them. That you never tease somebody you don't like. But Alan, he and I had great fellowship together, and there were great days. He pastored churches, first of all, in Dunmurray, which is a suburb of Belfast, and then he moved to a place in County Antrim called Cabra, which is now Hebron, a Free Presbyterian Church in Ballymoney, and he moved there. Now, I came here in 1976, and in 1980, the Greenville Church had started in South Carolina, and it was open for a call. And the presbytery, they gave me the task of conducting the voting procedure. There were several candidates for it, and I'm thinking when I go down to Greenville, who's going to get this call? Who is the Lord calling? But I could take you to the place in my house down there where the Lord confirmed before we got to Greenville that Alan Cairns would be called. And when I went down there, so it was, the Lord called him, and he became a great minister. Now, Alan left instructions. He left in clear instructions, strict instructions, and that was that there were to be no tributes paid to him. Now, that put us all in a very difficult spot. But John Douglas, he broke the law there when he made his speech, and others did too, and your pastor did as well. And so I guess I may cheat a little bit. Besides, Alan wouldn't object to us following scripture where it says, "Let another praise thee." So we are speaking about our dear brother that he joined us for some protests, and we had a notable one in Victoria against the homosexuals in the United Church. And I always thought, I am glad that Alan Cairns is on our side, that we're not against him, because he had a mind like a bear trap with regard to theology and so on. And there's one wee preacher, well-known preacher here in that church, and he got up and he started to tell Alan what was so. But before long, he had to admit, "I am not a theologian." And he went away with his tail between his legs. Alan had a powerful mind and a powerful grasp of biblical theology. He pastored churches in Dunmurry and Calgary, and then went to South Carolina, where he stayed until he retired with Joan back to Ballymoney a few years ago. While he was in Greenville, he was instrumental in setting up the North American Presbytery that we are part of. He was also instrumental in setting up the Geneva Reformed Seminary. Apart from his beloved wife, Joan, and I remember the time when they were going out together, they were in part of a radio ministry, a telephone ministry that Dr. Paisley had. And apart from his beloved wife, theology was the love of his life, and he lectured in theology from the early days of our denomination, and our church, as has been said already twice, has lost a valuable asset. He was God's man for the hour, and we have certainly lost one of our most valuable assets. And the man that you've just seen, when it's time for him to go, we will greatly lose John Douglas, because he also is a man that has been mightily used of the Lord. Alan wrote quite a bit. Larry mentioned there the Dictionary of Theological Terms. I think that's his best work. It's about that thick, and he did it, went to three different stages, and it was a great tool for pastors and for others. You want to know something about theology? Into Alan's book and you'll get it. Very, very good, he wrote that. And then he edited three blessed books at different times of daily readings throughout the year. He started off in 1989 with the Footprints of Faith, different ministers putting in them the little things every week or every day. And then in 1991, he had Eagle's Wings, which I still use to this day, every day. And he then brought out another one, and we were all involved in this, A Word in Season. And that was a tremendous, I still use that one every day as well. I have something here, not very big, but that there is, while it's quite small, it is a powerful little tune that Alan put together way back many, many years ago, Christ is the Answer. And it's called A Plain Man's Guide to the Bible Doctrine of Salvation. And that little book, all it contains are Bible quotations and just a little headline to say what it is: all men are sinners, sinners are spiritually dead, and so on. And that is one of the best little... He did a later one, which was much more modern in its presentation, but I never beat this one here. This is a good one. So anybody who wanted to, was interested in coming to the Lord, give him a copy of Christ is the Answer. And not only that, but in the book he told them to what to do after you come to Christ and how to grow. Don't ask me for any, because they're gone. There's a few of them to be found just here and there, but they are gone. And so, and also Alan was a driving force between the Let the Bible Speak radio ministry. That he came to me one day and said, I want to start a radio ministry. And he asked me, would you look after the finances, which I did. And he asked my brother James if he would look after the technical end, like Jonathan does here. And so we started that in 1973 in the Isle of Man. That's the only place we could broadcast. But he was the driving force behind it. I wish I could tell you today of Alan's, of his preaching, his powerful preaching of the Lord Jesus. John Douglas mentioned something of it there. Wish I could tell you of his pastor's heart, and I could tell you of his happy disposition and also his sense of humor. But an obituary would soon become a tribute. And so really I cannot say much more, although I'd love to. Please remember the Cairns family, Mrs. Cairns, Joan especially, that the two of them are identified as having COVID. She was asymptomatic, but Alan wasn't, and he had to go into hospital. And the last view she got of him was going into the hospital, bowed over, as she said, like an old man, and that wasn't Alan. That wasn't the way he was. But she saw him go into hospital, never saw him again for two weeks. She had to live at home in self-isolation. At the beginning, he could telephone her from the hospital, but then they put him onto ventilation, and ventilation's very serious, and he had to be sedated for that, and so therefore he couldn't phone to her, and so she had to live for a couple of weeks with him dying, and she couldn't get in to see him and speak to him and comfort him. So it was very sad. And then Frank, they have one son, Frank, and he lives down in the States with his wife and I think three children. And Frank desperately wanted to go to the funeral, but wasn't allowed to because he would have had to go into 2 weeks of self-isolation before he could even meet anybody. So it's very sad. But the good thing is that, as I said to Joan, think where he is now. He's with the Lord, and he's with him forevermore. And I was just thinking, too, that we have quite a congregation of people that have moved up from here, up there. And I just looked in there recently, about 100 people that I buried and looking forward. Not sure how long it's going to be before I join them, but look forward to seeing all those people who knew and loved the Lord, and they're with him. And as the hymn says, we're all going to glory soon. Let me just repeat that verse again. Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?
Thank our brother tonight for giving us those reflections. I was fully prepared on continuing our study tonight in the life of Elisha, but I think it's going to be appropriate for us to turn for just a moment to Proverbs chapter 10. Please turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 10, the 7th verse. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The memory of the just is blessed. What stands out about a man of God that we think about and remember is that he himself had a living relationship with his God. He was a sinner, not a perfect man, but he was a justified man. And that makes all the difference in this world and in the world that is to come. If a person has that relationship and that standing before the God of heaven, then that is a man, a woman who knows his and her God And tonight, my friends, I would say to you earnestly with my heart, do you know tonight if you are a justified one in God's sight? Because the person who has that experience, the one who knows that they are right with God in the standing that they have, is as Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That has been taken away. That has been removed. And so the just man is a man who is at peace with God, who knows the Lord, and who knows his standing is right and true. His sins, which were many, have all been washed away. And that's the power of the atoning blood of our Redeemer. The memory of the just is blessed. We've been thinking for just a moment tonight about the blessing of memory, the privilege to reflect, the joy it is to look back to personal experiences and anecdotes, those things whereby God has used to stir our hearts. God has used to edify us through the testimony, through the example, through the preaching of an individual. And such was the case of God's servant tonight. Sometimes people would think that when you lift up someone to this degree, that you are putting a human on a pedestal or a platform that is too high. We guard that, and we don't want that. But you know that Mr. Cairns wouldn't have wanted that, which is why he desired no tributes. John Calvin, when he was buried, did not want to have a tombstone or a name placed because he wanted no one to come to the place where he was buried to make a pilgrimage. Because there was a desire in the hearts of those who love the Lord and who exalt Christ in the first place, I don't want any glory myself. I only want the Lord to be magnified. And that's a good testimony. But for those of us who are remaining, God directs us. Indeed, He commands His people to remember the former days, to remember those who have taken their stand for righteousness. It's why the Lord reminds us in His Word of Moses and Joshua, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are to think fondly. We are not to forget the great blessings and the gifts that God has given to us in our life, and the gift of men of God, the gift of those to the church of Christ in their generation, is a very precious thing. Let us never forget, but let us take moments to remember the memory of the just, what they have left behind, the heritage that we have reaping today, the blessing and benefit of that. Let that be remembered. The memory, the heritage, the testimony, the legacy. We thought about a couple of those points of legacy, the writings. There is a bank of preaching ministry that is available to you today. Think of that, believer, in past generations that could be maintained in writing of books, but we have it in the audio form today. Make use of that. Use your time wisely to edify yourself. Think back of the great heritage that we have, the justified man, the God-called man, the memory that we have to think about. And as we reflect tonight, we say, that is a blessed thing. It is a thing given from God. And so, we will thank Him tonight for that. We will acknowledge will mark in history, the history of the church, will mark in the history of our own fellowship here with thanks to the Lord, because we know that the just man who is right with God, that is a very blessed and a happy thing. Oh, I know, reflecting upon the departure of someone, it's filled with mixed emotions, happiness, thanksgiving, but also great sadness. Sometimes we have to be honest and say that the sadnesses of our reflection will be upon regret. Maybe there was a missed opportunity. Maybe there was an occasion where we should have spoken a word that we didn't speak. And now we look back and we think, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I never said that. I'm sorry I never said a thank you. I'm sorry I never acknowledged what I should have. Well, let us learn from that today and then look around to those who are close to you and take the opportunity now while you have it and say that word that you need to say. Ah, yes, these are mixed times of emotions. Happiness, thanksgiving, rejoicing, because God has blessed us with those who have gone the pathway in front. And they have, in a sense, cut a path. And as they have cut the path, we will walk in their footsteps. Well, that's how the Lord has encouraged us to go through and on the way of our life, so that others will be able to follow us in the footsteps and the pathway that we are going. Yes, the memory of the just is blessed. But the other side is something to be warned about. It speaks about the wicked in that verse. Oh, friend, you do not want to be defined. You're listening online tonight. You don't want to have that qualification on your life. The wicked, the memory shall rot. Oh, I pray that tonight you would be sure that you find yourself as one justified in the eyes of a holy God through the righteousness of Christ applied to your heart, that you might know Him, you might love Him, and praise Him with all your being, that a life would be lived on this earth that is meaningful, filled with purpose, fulfilling the calling, the eternal purpose of our sovereign God. So, may the Lord encourage us, encourage your heart tonight. Let us conclude our meeting with number 673, and Jesus, stand among us in thy risen power. 673, let's stand, please, as we worship the Lord. Father, I pray that our steps will be quickened by the knowledge, by the power of the Spirit of God abiding within, that every saint will know the joy and the peace of daily, constant fellowship with our Savior. That the life that we have to live, walking in the footsteps of those that have gone before us, cutting the path, ultimately following the way of our Lord and Savior. That we will be faithful, Lord, in our generation. That we will not capitulate and give in to the world. That we will not compromise that which has been given to us. That we will take the heritage of faith. We will hold it dearly to our hearts. And that we will walk in a manner that is honorable before a critical and accusing world. That, Lord, as you look upon us and what we do and where we go and how we think and how we act, it will always be, Lord, for the honor of our blessed Savior. Father, hear our prayers. Pour in your oil of joy for mourning. Give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Comfort all those, Lord, who are grieving at this time. Be very near to those in our fellowship, Father, who have lost loved ones recently. Help us to realize that those that have gone from us in Christ, we would not, Lord, wish them to come back to this world again. Help us to go on from strength to strength, that the Savior will be honored in all things. So, Lord, part us, we pray now tonight, in thy fear, with rich blessing, until we come to meet again, either here or in glory. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.